Today on Real Life Radio.
There never would have been a cross unless there was a garden. And there never would have been an empty tomb unless there was a garden. Because it was in the garden that he heard nothing, but he had to trust the word of God, the prophets, right? Just like you do, and obey, and he did.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Part 2 continues in the book of Philippians chapter 2 with verses 5 through 11. In these verses, Paul encompasses everything about who Jesus Christ really is. He's God, he's the Savior, our Lord, and he came so that we might have eternal life. We've all been wronged at some point in our lives, that's the truth, and our response to this injury bears witness to the fact that there is evil in this world. The damaging effects of sin not only hurt us, but all of creation as well. There is no greater sin, however, than the one we've inflicted on the heart of God. For this reason, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. His sacrifice conquered evil and broke the destructive power of sin. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that we can meet with God wherever we are. We can now be in his presence with sincere hearts, fully trusting in him. For when Jesus died on the cross, that veil that separated us from the Holy of Holies was torn in two. God moved out of that temple that was made with human hands and became available for all mankind. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The next thing that we consider is this. Andrew Murray, by the way, writes this, the great author, Andrew Murray. He said, "It is the sigh of many of God's children of the new covenant who do not understand that the way into the holiest has truly been opened and that every child of God may and ought to have this dwelling place there in the presence of God." See, what do you mean? When we talk about the high priest, when we talk about what Christ has done, when we talk about the cross, what are we talking about? How does it affect me? You have to think Old Testament. You have the temple. And at the temple, you have the Temple Mount, and then you have the courtyard. You have stages. And certain people could only go to certain points. There was the court of the women. There were the court of the Gentiles, for example. But beyond that, there's the place where the priesthood would operate. They would make the sacrifices. There would be the brazen altar, the laver. There were the things that you read about in the Old Testament. You'd get closer and closer. You're getting closer and closer still until there's a point where the high priest would enter into the holy place. And there's the articles that are there. For example, there's the menorah, 7 lampstand. There's a various elements there. You can read it, the showbread and all this. You can read it later, but watch. There's a veil, and that's what you'd see. And then there's a second veil. And nobody could go through that second veil except one man once a year. He was called the high priest. By the way, he had to make atonement for his own sins because he was a human like us. He was just a guy. He would have all of the prescribed high priest outfit, which is incredibly meaningful, speaking of Christ and his mission. And do you remember he had bells on his robe at the end, on the bottom, bells? For various reasons, I would suppose, but one of them is most practical. As he went in, if he went in that one time on the Day of Atonement, if he went in through the veil. Now, listen, listen to the variance. It doesn't matter. It's something. Scholars say the veil was woven fabric per the Bible, per God's prescription, of 6 to 8 inches thick fabric woven together. That's 6 to 8 inches thick. That's pretty serious. Fabric. And that it was somewhere between 65 to 85 feet high. That separated everything else from the presence of God. The high priest went in and they put a rope around his ankle in case there was sin in his life. Can you imagine? He's got blood. He has the blood of the sacrificial lamb. He's going in there. Can you imagine? and you're representing yourself and the entire nation. And he goes in, and you know what's in that room. Did you ever see Indiana Jones, Raiders Lost Ark? Listen, Spielberg made that ark dead on, dead on. Remember the lid? You could pick the lid up, right on. Did you know the blood, the sacrificial, the blood would go on the top of that lid? Remember the angels are bowed down like that? And he would come in there. And if he had sin in his life, everyone's on the outside with a rope. It's like, can you imagine? Like, it's like fishing for priest. And then, because he's moving around in there, you know? And then you can hear this ding, 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 ding. The bells are shit, the bells. And then, ding, 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 ding. You know, like the sound of a flash bulb. What happened? Reel him in, reel him in. Can you imagine? You reel the priest back in. The guy was, he was the wrong, listen, he failed at his representation. He was doing holy work, but he was unholy. Then you have to get another priest. Our priest, once and for all, went in to a temple not made with hands. Eternal in the heavens, the book of Hebrews says. All that stuff was a wonderful picture designated by God, but a picture nonetheless of what was coming. Jesus was the one to do that for us. And that's good news. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Think of the earthly temple now, and now think of your body being the earthly temple. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. This is a side note. This is a rabbit trail. Are you a Christian today? Are you messing around, goofing off, and disobeying God? Listen, you're not going to lose your salvation, but you could lose your life. Did you know that? If you don't repent and follow God, if you don't get your act together and go back and repent to God and start walking with God, you may be a Christian and you got your name written down in heaven, but listen, God will destroy your earthly temple if you persist in your adultery or in your drug life or in your rebellion against God, in your pride and your arrogance. He could take you out. Don't do that. John 14:23, and Jesus answered and said, John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Also in verse 8, we see this. Only God can save you now, exclusively because he suffered in our place. He suffered in our place to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What an amazing statement. Back to the book of Hebrews. What does that mean? The point of death, even the death of the cross. It means this. Hebrews 7:22. So much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. Verse 24, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for the saints. What do you think of that? That is very, very good news. Listen, before we end, I want to go back and we'll end with this truth, powerful truth. Only the cross, only Jesus. I'm going to give you a couple verses and we'll end here. You know that on the night of Jesus' betrayal, his arrest, do you remember he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane? And if you've never been, you ought to make it an effort to go, because it's an amazing location that they know by the age of the olive trees on the Mount of Beatitudes. They know that, or the Mount of Olives, I should say, they know that these trees genetically or are the children of or the grandchildren of the actual trees. There's some stumps that are there that scientists say are the trees of 2,000 years ago. And you see them. Jesus is walking through that olive grove. The whole mountainside was an olive grove. And the disciples were with him. And Jesus was about to pray, and you know it. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, the Bible tells us, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, the crushing. That's what that word means, the place of the crushing. And said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the sons of Zebedee, Peter, James, and John. It's always Peter, James, and John all the time. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Can you imagine being so emotionally distraught? This is it. If I could die, I would die, he's saying. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup, soak of the word cup, let this plan of salvation, let this mission, let what's written in the prophets, let's consider all that's about to happen. Let it pass from me. Let's stop it. Imagine, I wonder how long there was in that semicolon in your Bible. I wonder how long did he pause? There's no way to know. How long did he wait? Father, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, what's he talking about? If Mike can save himself, let's go that route. If Susie can do it on her own, God, let's do that. If somebody can give enough money to get saved, fine. If somebody can do enough works, good deeds, cross the spiritual T's and dot the spiritual I's, let's do it. His emotions, listen, his humanity was saying, don't want to go any further. I know what's coming. My deity is informing my humanity. I know what's up. Please, Father, if there's any other way, remove the cup. The cup of mankind's salvation. Do you see how incredibly stupid it is for you to think you're okay? You are insulting the heart of God. Well, I'm not as bad as you. That's not the scale. What are you thinking? Are you as good as Jesus? Let's fill up the pool. Let's go out to the fountains here on campus. Have you walk across them? He went a little farther and fell on his face and he prayed, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Verse 42, Matthew 26. Again, a second time he went and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. Do you hear it? Listen, do you detect the compliance? Do you detect everybody? Are you watching your Bible carefully? Do you see the obedience? Verse 44, so he left them and went away again. And he prayed the third time and he said the same words. Wow. Do you know what the answer was? You ever read the Bible here? Are you aware of the answer? Are you ready for the answer? I'll tell you the answer. Silence. Father, remove this cup from me if man can be saved any other way. Silence. Heaven did not speak. Why do you think he went back and prayed the second time? Silence. There's no record in the Bible that God spoke. Nothing. Third time he prays. God, speak. Yes, of course, in my obedience, your will be done. But what's the answer? Any other way? Any other way man can save himself? Joining a team, church. You say, well, Jack, I mean, I come here, so what? Well, I was a member for years at the First Pentecostal Church, and I, so what? I gave $1 million to the homeless charity of the universe, so what? What? So listen, what was attached to it in your heart? Oh, I'll do this good thing. Wrong motive. Wrong motive. silence. And the Bible says that an angel came to him and strengthened him. Personally, and I believe I could make this argument theologically, this is where your salvation was actually achieved right here. You say, what are you talking about? You mean in the garden? Yeah. You mean not the cross? There never would have been a cross unless there was a garden. And there never would have been an empty tomb unless there was a garden. Because it was in the garden that he heard nothing. But he had to trust the word of God, the prophets, right? Just like you do. And obey. And he did. Then comes the cross. Because you know what? After this, Jesus says, wake up, guys. Remember, they're all sleeping. Wake up. Let's go. Translation. Let's go. I got work to do. Let's go. You guys can witness it. Let's go. And the Bible says he went. From that moment on, pure strength. Have you noticed? Pure strength. They're plucking out his beard. They're laying his back wide open. They're spitting on him. They're cursing, calling him all kinds of names. He's going from one bozo kangaroo court to the next. It's all illegal according to the law of both Jews and Rome. And he's completely ill-treated, and he doesn't whimper or whine a second. He stands there like a sheep before its shears, is silent, so he doesn't open his mouth once. Takes it. Why? Because he had the victory. He humbled himself even to the point of death, the death of the cross. Amen. Amazing. If you're not a Christian, listen, you ain't got nothing. And then here's where we're going to end. Matthew chapter 7. It's a tough place to end, I must admit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus says, enter in by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. That's nervous. Verse 13 really kind of makes me terrified. I told first service, and I'll say it to this service. First service just packed out and packed out this service, and that makes me nervous. See, isn't that a pastor's dream come true? It all depends on the heart of the pastor. If pastors need people to, validate their ministry, they probably should go get a job somewhere else. A crowd is scary. A crowd is scary. Here's the reason why. Listen, in a crowd, you can hide. You can be here today, you can breeze in and out of church and never once be born again. You can say in your mind, hey, you know what? He's almost done. I can tell. He's got to be done here in like the next 3 minutes. This is what has to be. He's got to be done. He's like, I'll be back next week. If your Christianity exists on Sundays, you're in deep trouble. And in crowds, you can hide. Crowds do not validate anything. Crowds create danger. Jesus says, broad's the way. A lot of people on that path. I'm not picking on you. I'm just using you as an example here. As an illustration, I should say. Who's going to be here? Is this church going to be packed after the rapture? What if the Lord came back today? Or what if the Lord came back next Saturday night? What if that happened? Listen, the church could be packed the next day. Think of it. First service is at 7:15 in the morning. It's still kind of dark outside. People still coming. Now, that's crazy. We changed the time so they wouldn't come. What if the rapture happens? Are you going to be here? Are you waiting for Jesus? Are you ready to meet him? Listen, are you going to be here? I hope you're not here. But Jesus says broad's the way. It's popular is the path. A lot of people are on it. It's what everybody wants. It's relevant. It's cool. Church, no cross. No sin, no repentance. Listen, we love the hymn. Come as you are, says the relevant church. And stay that way. No, Jesus says, the Bible says, come as you are, so that you can be transformed. Amen. It's much easier now to go on the broad path. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. Let's be honest. It's hard to be a Christian. If you're going to follow Jesus, it's bloody. I don't mean bloody, bloody. I mean, it's his blood. It's hard. Let's be honest. because narrow and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, hang on. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out, have you prophesied in the name of Jesus? Have you cast out demons? Have you done miracles in his name? Listen to what Jesus says. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You say, Jack, how can they be practicing lawlessness when they did all those wonderful things? Because it's not what you do. It's, does the doctrine of Jesus Christ being who he is relate to you internally, personally? Apparently, you cannot be a believer in Jesus Christ being born again at all, use his name, and see miracles done because God honors his name. Just because you see somebody on Christian TV doing miracles doesn't mean they're going to be in heaven. Just because I'm standing up here in front of you doesn't mean I'm going to be in heaven. Am I born again? Jesus said. And that is terrifying. And the only answer is that only God can save you now. And that is a very, very wonderful yet serious thing to consider. Do I believe the Lord's coming back? Should I say, do I believe the Lord could come back soon? I'm surprised he hasn't come back yet. Honestly, I'm not kidding. I didn't think my kids would ever get past their teen years. I thought the Lord would be back before Lisa and I even had kids. Well, see, you were wrong. I wasn't wrong. I just know this. If we thought he was going to come back 35 years ago, he's real close now. Well, how close? Don't know, but closer. Father, we thank you for your truth and for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you have always been and you always will be the only one who can save us now. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray right now that every person in this place, every person listening right now, would be so compelled by the Holy Spirit to run, to flee, to climb up a tree or go to a top of a mountain or take a swim or a run or get in the car and go or go lock themselves in the bathroom because of the conviction of the Spirit, that we would all search our hearts to ask that question, am I really, really, really in a relationship where I personally know God and love him and care about his thoughts and want to follow him and I put him first in my thinking, though I stumble and fall during the course of the day, it's all about him? Or am I just now putting another notch in my Bible learning belt and walking away until next Sunday? Lord, help us. In Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Thanks for listening. And not only can God save you, he wants to save you. It was God's love that compelled Christ to redeem us from our sins. We'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. April's book of the month, I gotta tell you, it's a must read. You see, never before have current events come together so perfectly to align with Bible prophecy. And quite frankly, there's no one better to share with us this profound biblical truth than our very own Pastor Jack Hibbs. His new book is called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. In this book, you'll discover how things are falling right into place, just as the Bible predicted some thousands of years ago. Also, what's coming up next on the prophetic calendar. You're also going to see what to watch out for, why Israel is the most controversial hotspot in the world, and the role that Russia plays prophetically in this global conflict. Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate Endgame. It's our gift to you for your gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, that's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.